We know the rapture will deliver all the saved of the earth to go to be with the Lord, and there will be a multitude that will be left behind, and they will enter what is called the tribulation. The tribulation is Daniel's 70th week, a period of 7 years or a week of years that has not yet been fulfilled. Revelation 11 and verse 1, "It was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, or 3.5 year period of time. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." So he's referring to Jerusalem, about a negative connotation of it, called treating as Sodom and Egypt. "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice of heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh." Now we see these witnesses in the tribulation period that are God's witnesses during this time. We don't know all the exact timing. We know they'll be witnesses for 3.5 years. Whether it is a part of the first 3.5 years or the second 3.5 years, it's difficult to discern with absolute certainty. Some believe that because we will all be gone in the rapture, that it will leave the earth without witnesses, that God raises these up to be a witness for him, and they may have some part in the 144,000 of the Jews that convert to the Lord in that time frame, if so. Now, first of all, the two witnesses with God's power prophesy for 42 months or 3.5 years. In chapter 12 and verse 6, says the woman who fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. A second mention of the 3.5 years. And then again in chapter 13 and verse 5, "It was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, 3.5 year period of time. Now the temple has been rebuilt in Israel for this time frame to take place. Now, we don't know when the temple will be rebuilt, but we know it will be rebuilt by the time the tribulation period is ongoing. And worship will be taking place, and the Antichrist will go into the temple midway of the tribulation and declare that he is God and men must worship him. And that's the abomination of desolation that's the catalyst for the last 3.5 years for the wrath of God to be poured out upon the earth. These are prophesied of in Zechariah 4 and verse 11 as the two candlesticks and the two olive trees. And you can look at Zechariah 3 and Zechariah 4 and see the reference to these candlesticks that are referred to, as it says in chapter 11 and verse number 3. Now, in that time period of Zechariah's prophecy in the Old Testament, that was the time of the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian captivity. The high priest that was set up to serve the Lord in the temple when the temple was rebuilt was a man named Joshua, not the Joshua of earlier years that led Israel into the promised land. He was the high priest during the time of the rebuilding. Zerubbabel laid the foundation of the temple in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Zerubbabel and Joshua are referred to in Zechariah as the two witnesses there in that day and time. And so some hold that possibly these same men will be the two witnesses that will come back during the tribulation period. Jerusalem is referred to as Sodom and Egypt because of its sins and mistreatments of the people of God and of the prophets. Now, the two witnesses have power to send fire down on their enemies and to shut up heaven so there's no rain, and to turn water to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Now, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 tells us that before the Lord comes, that Elijah will come back and will he will return before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, we know Elijah called down fire out of heaven on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And after he laid his mantle on the shoulders of Elisha and called him into the ministry to be his successor, then Elisha was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, and they saw chariots of fire. So he didn't die a normal physical death. He was taken up into heaven. Now, he called down fire on the altar that Ahab had allowed to be built with the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20 through 40, he withheld the rain for 3.5 years. God had said if Israel worshiped idols, he would withhold the rain. Elijah tagged into that. James tells us about it in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man subject to the same kind of passions we are as a normal human being, but he prayed it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and God brought the rain. So Elijah was taken up to heaven, and many believe he will be one of the witnesses. And another factor of that is he was also on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord Jesus was transfigured before James and Peter and John. Moses and Elijah were on the mountain with Jesus. And Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, brush arbors that they used in the Feast of Tabernacles, and stay up there, and one for each of them, and let them sit at their feet and be taught and fellowship with them and all that. But the Lord put a stop to that and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Now, another possibility is Enoch, who also did not die a normal physical death. He was taken up by God because he had this testimony that he walked with God and he pleased God. And so God took him. And there are those that believe Enoch will be one of the two witnesses because of this. In Jude, verse 14 and 15, the Bible states that Enoch prophesied of the coming of Christ with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all of the ungodly of the world. Another whose thought is Moses, because Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, And because Moses was given the rod to wave over the waters and turn the waters to blood and brought those 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt when he was there to get the Pharaoh to let the people go and worship God. And so folks say that Moses could be one of the witnesses. And Matthew 17, Moses and Elijah, is where they were on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord as he was glorified. They speak for God to Israel as prophets of God. They speak against the sins of the people. And they speak against the nation as it turned away from God and warned them and rebuked them for their wrongdoing. Now, they are witnesses for God. But these two witnesses will preach and prophesy of what's going to follow, turning Israel to God and warning of the great day of the wrath of God. They'll be opposed to Satan and be opposed by Satan and the Antichrist and the followers of all their lies. In Revelation 7:9, it tells us, or in 7:1-9, it tells us of the conversion of the 144,000 Jewish people in the tribulation, 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. In chapter 11 and verse 7, these two witnesses will finish their testimony, and then they'll be allowed to die at the hand of their enemy, the beast, and they will lie in the street of Jerusalem for 3 days. They'll be as the Apostle Paul, who said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day of his appearing, and not to me only, but also unto all those that love his appearing." So they will have finished their work, and the beast comes up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit. This Greek word for abyss refers to the bottomless pit, refers to the lower regions of the dead. It is used 7 times in Revelation and is used as the abode of demons that are reserved against the day of judgment. In Revelation 17 and verse 8, "The beast thou sawest and was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." And so this is the same expression here, bottomless pit, that is from the word abyss. These two witnesses, their deaths will be very public. The whole world will see this. They'll lie in the streets for 3.5 days. And all of the people will rejoice over them and send gifts to one another. And we saw a little mirror of that when 9/11 happened and the news media focused on Islamic nations of all the Muslim peoples that took to the streets, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them cheering and jeering and yelling that America, the great Satan, had been defeated and had been blown up and all of these people were killed and all that sort of thing. And they celebrated in all of that. It'll be that same kind of demented attitude that will happen with the two witnesses in their celebrations of their death. But it's going to be very short-lived. They will rise from the dead, and they will see that everything they were preaching and everything they were doing was the will of God as God raises them back to life again. Now, Revelation 11 and verse 11 and 12, "The witnesses shall rise." Death cannot hold God's people. Death could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. He defeated death and hell and holds the keys of both. And he rose again from the dead. And we shall do so likewise. These two witnesses shall rise again from the dead. And this confirms their testimony and their preaching, and confirms to the people a visual illustration of the power of God. All the earth will see this resurrection. All who celebrated their deaths will be confronted that God is real and His power can raise the dead. The moral and religious degrading of the world up to that point in time will be seen in what they do and how they celebrate in their death. These people have accepted the lies of the Antichrist. They have rebelled against the Word of God. They have rebelled against God Himself. And by note, if you go back and add it all up, over 50% of the world's population will have died by the time this has taken place in the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments that will take place upon the earth in these last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Half the civilized world will have died in the judgments of God poured out upon the world. Now many will be saved. The 144,000 will be saved. They shall become witnesses for God in the earth. And there will be many Gentiles that will be saved as a result of that. I personally feel in my gut and believe that because of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which teaches that those who've had an opportunity and a full understanding of the salvation message but have rejected it to continue the pleasures of sin may never have another opportunity to be saved. So many of these that will be getting saved will be people in other parts of the world that haven't had the opportunities people have in the United States of America, with a church on every corner and knowing Christians and seeing people get saved and change their lives, having access to Bibles and radio and TV and all the things that the gospel goes forth here in America and gives people opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to believe and be saved. But there are places in the world that don't have those opportunities, and I believe that that will be where most of these people that get saved in the tribulation will come from, along with those of Israel. Now, these that will be saved will not have worshipped the Antichrist. They will not have received the mark of the beast, because all who receive that mark and worship the Antichrist are damned, and they will not have an opportunity. These will hate God. They'll hate His Word. They will hate God's morals and God's values, and they will vent their anger against God in these two witnesses by desiring to see them destroyed. It will be hard for anyone who receives Christ as Savior in the latter part of the tribulation period. Life will be hard for them. Many of them will die because of refusing the mark of the beast or the number of his name that they could buy or sell in no way without having this cooperation with the government. We see little images of things happening all the time where the government is in control and holds control over people in many places of the world, including the United States. And we still have a little bit more freedom and liberty than many countries do. But we can see how those things are being taken away and eroded. There's no mention of a rapture taking place. This guy came out with this idea of an old teaching, the mid-trib rapture position. And he gave it a new name called the pre-wrath rapture. And he sold a lot of books, and he thought he had some things that nobody knew, and he was going to teach everybody that the rapture was going to take place in the middle of the tribulation, and he uses these two witnesses as part of the catalyst for that. But there's no mention of these that are raised up by God and given life and called up to heaven to the Lord. There's no mention of others being called up with them at that time. There's no mention of the church in all these years of the tribulation. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia Minor are given a warning to repent or else, and they're commended for the good that they've done. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, there's the promise there to the true church to be delivered from the wrath to come, and not they will be kept from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. And so there's no other mention of the church during the tribulation judgments in the book of Revelation. Revelation 11 and verse 15 through 19, the seventh trumpet judgment transpires. And this is not the trumpet for the rapture. This is the trumpet judgment that God pours out upon the earth in the final judgments. Angels announce the conqueror coming in judgment upon the ruler of the kingdoms of this world. Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 19, the four alleluias. Hallelujah, pronounced from Hebrew into English, is hallelujah. In Greek, it is alleluia. They both mean the same thing. It is a praise to God. The elders worship Christ in 19, verse 16 through 18. Back in Psalm 50, the tribulation saints who worshiped in the temple on earth entered a covenant with God by sacrifice. In the tribulation, the Christians by faith in Christ enter into a covenant relationship with him. And Christ will come back to defend Israel and destroy the armies of men and the armies of demons that will be on the earth in that time. He'll fight the battle of Armageddon, and there in the valley of Megiddo, the blood will run to the depth of a horse's bridle in that great battle as he treads out the winepress alone. He sets up his kingdom to rule and reign. And the two witnesses, their word confirms the testimony that is given. All the way back in Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 6. Moses taught Israel that at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. These two witnesses will come with power to take the lives of men who reject the Lord. And at the testimony of two witnesses, the condemnation of all of these will be given. Christ sent his disciples out two by two when they went to be witnesses for him with the gospel message. These two will testify and warn and rebuke the world of evil, preach against the Antichrist and all that the Antichrist does in perverting the world, the plague of death, the drought that will come upon the earth, the disease. And their enemies will delight when these witnesses die. There'll be a great earthquake that will follow their resurrection in Jerusalem, and a part of the city will fall, and 7,000 will die as a result of that earthquake. Now, we've looked at the second coming of Christ with the rapture, the beginning of the tribulation, and now we've come up to this part in chapter 11. Of the two witnesses. I hope you're trying to keep up with the study. It's been quite a while since our last message on that. I had a number of men in the church speak on Sunday night for a number of months. And so this is the first message back on the second coming. I want to remind you, we're to be looking for the Lord to come. You know how everybody got word about the sight in the sky of Jupiter and Saturn? So we all went outside to look. We ought to be looking for Jesus to come. We ought to be that anxious, as the Bible tells us, He's coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people tonight. Bless them and encourage them, and help us to do the work You've given us to do. We pray You'll help us to be witnesses for Christ while there's an opportunity for people to be saved. The grace of God and the mercy of God is available to men if they will simply turn to Christ, believe on Him and call upon Him, and have that desire to turn away from their sins and to turn to God. Help them to recognize where they are before God, sinners who are lost and condemned, who can be saved by simple faith. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.